Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Bush states his opposition to queer unions. The Canadian bishop in the eye of the Anglican storm states his support. And intergalactic, unplugged, and stripped down music heats up the audiophile. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending January 24, 2004. As U.S. President George W. Bush delivered his State of the Union address this week, blocking legal same-gender marriage topped his domestic agenda. While he avoided the use of any word referring to homosexuality, he clearly gave his strongest endorsement yet to amending the U.S. Constitution to reserve marriage exclusively for one man and one woman. The annual State of the Union speech to both houses of the Congress and the American people presents the chief executive's legislative proposals. But in this presidential election year, it also keynotes the campaigning of the ruling Republican Party.
A strong America must also value the institution of marriage. I believe we should respect individuals as we take a principled stand for one of the most fundamental, enduring institutions of our civilization. Congress has already taken a stand on this issue by passing the Defense of Marriage Act signed in 1996 by President Clinton. That statute protects marriage under federal law as a union of a man and a woman and declares that one state may not redefine marriage for other states. Activist judges, however, have begun redefining marriage by court order without regard for the will of the people and their elected representatives. On an issue of such great consequence, the people's voice must be heard. If judges insist on forcing their arbitrary will upon the people, the only alternative left to the people would be the constitutional process. Our nation must defend the sanctity of marriage. The outcome of this debate is important, and so is the way we conduct it. The same moral tradition that defines marriage also teaches that each individual has dignity and value in God's sight.
In addition, the president called for doubling funding for schools to teach abstinence from sex as what he called the only certain way to avoid sexually transmitted diseases. He also asked lawmakers to codify his executive order, opening federal funding for social services to religious charities, so that, in his words, people of faith can know that the law will never discriminate against them again.
Religious right groups welcome the president's apparent support for a constitutional prohibition of same-gender marriage, although some wanted an even stronger statement from him.
Groups supporting gay and lesbian equality were outraged. National Gay and Lesbian Task Force Executive Director Matt Foreman said, "We are appalled by the president's direct attack on an independent judiciary and disgusted by his sanctimonious hypocrisy in pandering to the extreme religious and political right in saying that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans are not entitled to equal rights."
The Gay and Lesbian Log Cabin Republicans warned the president that engaging in a culture war is a recipe for defeat because Americans are threatened by terrorism and job uncertainty, not gay and lesbian families. But while saying they will not stand by while anyone attempts to write discrimination into the Constitution, the group also corrected a New York Times report by noting they had yet to decide whether or not to endorse Bush's re-election.
Human Rights Campaign Executive Director Cheryl Jakes emphasized that gay and lesbian couples are raising over 1 million children in the United States who deserve the rights and protections of marriage. She said, "In more than 200 years of American history, the Constitution has never been amended to deny basic rights and responsibilities. It is always wrong to use the Constitution to discriminate against any American."
And while U.S. polls have found increased opposition to legal recognition of same-gender couples since the Supreme Court struck down state sodomy laws in June, there is no groundswell of public support for a constitutional amendment. An ABC poll of more than 1,000 adults during the week preceding the president's speech found almost 60% preferred leaving marriage laws up to the states, as the Constitution now prescribes, while less than 40% wanted a federal amendment. That preference was found in every region of the country and was even held by a slight majority of Republican respondents. The same poll found 55% opposition to equal marriage rights for gays and lesbians and a slight majority opposed to civil unions.
Virginia lawmakers are definitely on the same track as the president. The state House of Delegates acted quickly to vote this week by more than 80% for a resolution in support of a federal marriage amendment. There is also a bill designed to impeach for malfeasance any judge who ruled in support of same-gender marriages, but a House committee overwhelmingly voted it down.
And Virginia is just one of a number of states across the U.S. where Republican lawmakers are introducing bills to bar same-gender marriages under state constitutions as legislatures reconvene. State constitutional amendments have already been introduced in Arizona, Georgia, Illinois, Kentucky, Massachusetts, Michigan, and Wisconsin. More are expected in at least Alabama, Idaho, Indiana, and Michigan. The proposed amendment in Arizona won't be showing up on the November ballot, as Republican Senate Committee Chair has already shelved it.
37 states have already formally restricted legally recognized marriage to heterosexual couples in a tide of so-called defensive marriage laws that began in the early 1990s with a lawsuit in Hawaii's Supreme Court.
Ohio had been a holdout against similar bills proposed over the last 7 years. This week, though, the Ohio State Senate followed the House in adopting a strong measure Governor Bob Taft has said he'll sign. It describes gay and lesbian marriages as against the strong public policy of the state and prohibits recognition or extension of the specific statutory benefits of legal marriage to non-marital relationships between persons of the same sex or different sexes. It explicitly bars unmarried state employees from gaining spousal benefits for their domestic partners, regardless of gender, and would also block local governments and private companies from extending any benefits that state law specifically restricts to married couples. Activists fear the bill is so broad as to call into question same-gender couples' out-of-state adoptions.
There are also courtroom problems for same-gender couples in nations where their legal status is more established. Germany created strong registered partnerships for gays and lesbians in 2001, but a first court test has found them to be unequal to marriage. The tax status of German partnerships is rather complex. One gay couple sued for the option of so-called income splitting, which allows marital partners with very different incomes to combine them for an overall tax saving. But a state court said that partnerships were not legally equal to marriage and ruled that the couple could not use the tax method. The Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung reported.
There was disappointment for hundreds of gay and lesbian widows and widowers in Canada as the national government this week announced it is appealing a recent court ruling extending federal pension benefits. A bill passed in 2000 had opened the Canada pension plan to surviving members of same-gender couples, but only if the partner had died after 1997. Last month, an Ontario trial court found four plaintiff survivors who believe the benefit should extend back to 1985, when equality was guaranteed by the National Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Justice Minister Erwin Kotler says the ruling conflicts with an Ontario Court of Appeal decision that had been the government's basis for choosing the original cutoff date, and that guidance is needed for future moves concerning retroactive benefits. He denies that the Liberal Party government has any problem with equal treatment of same-gender couples, but many see the move as a further erosion of government support for gay and lesbian marriage equality since Paul Martin's recent ascension to prime minister.
In Britain, the head of the Human Fertilization and Embryology Authority this week told that body's annual conference that fertility treatment should be made more accessible to unmarried women and lesbian couples. HFEA Chair Susie Leather called anachronistic the current legal requirement that an infertile woman must identify a man to act as the father of her child before she can be offered treatment. That aspect of the 1990 law she described as a bit of nonsense.
And finally, countering the U.S. outcry against gay and lesbian families is one of the nation's most popular traditions, the annual Tournament of Roses parade that's been held every New Year's Day for well over a century in Pasadena, California, and is watched by millions on TV. The sponsor group's president has the honor of choosing the year's theme, inevitably something as bland as 2004's Music, Music, Music. New president David Davis announced this week that 2005's theme will be Celebrate Family. But he told the local newspaper that he welcomes all families, including same-gender couples and their children, saying, "I'm not going to judge anybody's lifestyles. We don't have any prejudice or bias." That parade will be held the same day that a controversial expansion of the legal status of California's registered partnerships into the second strongest in the nation goes into effect.
That's News Wrap for the week ending January 24, 2004. Written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Rick Watts.
HBO's amazing Angels in America swept the long-form TV categories at the 61st annual Golden Globe Awards on January 25th with a total of 5 wins. Best miniseries or TV movie, supporting actor Jeffrey Wright, supporting actress Mary Louise Parker, lead actor Al Pacino, and lead actress Meryl Streep, who concluded her thank you speech with a brief rebuttal to George W. Bush's State of the Union address.
I just want to say that I don't think the biggest problems, two biggest problems in America are that too many people want to commit their lives to one another till death do us part, and steroids in sports. I don't think those are our two biggest problems. That's all. Thank you very much.
From a space under sun, an acoustic Valentine comes musically plugged, stripped down, and live later in the program. It's been a tumultuous couple of years for the worldwide Anglican Communion over the role of lesbian, gay, bi, and trans people in the church, a rift between progressives and traditionalists brought on by the consecration of openly gay partner Gene Robinson as the Episcopal Bishop of New Hampshire last year, and by the vote 2 years ago by the Anglican Diocese of New Westminster in Vancouver, British Columbia, to bless same-gender unions. Representatives of 9 parishes attempted to cut ties with the diocese by forming a breakaway group of churches following that vote, and a committee of the House of Bishops continues to work toward a resolution of the conflict. New Westminster Bishop Michael Ingham, who authorized the blessing of same-gender unions 2 years ago, remains surprisingly cool as he sits on the hot seat. He talks with This Way Out's Heather Kitching about the conviction that drives him.
I guess what I'd like to ask you, first of all, is there's a lot of lesbian and gay and bisexual and transgender people who look at your actions in the last couple of years with a certain amount of envy, because I think they feel that you have a greater conviction of their place in the church than even some of them do. So I guess I'm wondering where your personal conviction comes from.
Well, I want gay and lesbian and transgendered people to know that they are welcome in the Anglican Church. I've been ordained now for about 30 years. And in the course of my ordained ministry, I've met many homosexual people who feel rejected by the church, and therefore by Christ. And I find that so sad and so contrary to the Christian gospel as I know it, that I really do want people to know that they are welcome among us. Well, the overwhelming witness of Scripture is that God loves all people unconditionally. That is to say, there are no conditions upon it. It's true that you have certain passages. Actually, there are only 6 passages out of the thousands of verses in the Bible that even deal with same-sex relationships. It is true that they are negative, but I see them arising out of an ancient culture which said negative things about a number of other groups of people and issues that we no longer hold to today. So I think you have, when you read the Bible, you have to distinguish between the time-bound truths or conditions that you find there and the eternal truths of Scripture, which are what I would call the greater message. Certainly in Jesus, we find no condemnation of gay or lesbian people. We find no condemnation of women in a culture that did regard women as second class. And The church has, over the years, changed its position on women, changed its position on slavery, changed its position on divorce. We're now undergoing a kind of, well, somewhat traumatic struggle around the inclusion of gay and lesbian people. But all of this is in faithfulness to Scripture, not in rebellion against Scripture. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people who will be listening to this probably don't realize that back in 2000, when the diocese voted 62% in favor of blessing same-sex unions, that there were actually two votes prior to that on previous years where the diocese had voted, I think, 51 and 56% in favor of blessing same-sex unions. And you hadn't let that go ahead because you'd felt that the narrow margin implied that the diocese wasn't ready for this. And then when you did let it go ahead, it was with a whole series of conditions. Have you been surprised by the amount of backlash that this has generated?
No, not really. I know the church pretty well. I've spent most of my life in it. And I knew it would be a difficult transition for a lot of people. And that's partly why I held the diocese back for about 5 years, hoping to build consensus, hoping to ensure a climate of respect for the new minority, because, you see, we had a new minority, which was conservative traditionalists, which I think surprised the gay and lesbian community. And my sympathies and pastoral concern has always been for minority groups. And so when we found we had a new minority group, I was concerned that they not be isolated or abandoned. Now, I've not been entirely successful in my efforts, as everyone knows, but it's not been for want of trying. I think there is a place for everybody in the Anglican Church. We certainly respect people's differences of opinion and view. All I have asked for, really, in the end, is that everyone respect people who hold differing views from themselves and continue to work together and get on with the work of the church.
What do you say to the people who have criticized the move of the diocese and who have chosen to walk away?
We spent a long time discussing and debating this move in the diocese. We were concerned at every step of the way with how it would impact other parts of the Anglican Church in other places in the world. And we were concerned, as I've already said, for people of conservative and traditional conscience within the Lower Mainland who would find this difficult. So we've tried to exercise great care for everyone who would not like to see the church change, just as we've decided to change out of a sense of care for those who have been excluded up till now. Because remember, gay and lesbian people for the last 2,000 years have really never had equality rights in the church. And we felt that it was time to bring an end to discrimination and prejudice, that the unity of the church cannot be built upon injustice. And what we've done is, out of pastoral care and concern, to try to create a space for everyone and not to impose anything on anybody. And I think the vast majority of members of our diocese understand this, and we all feel sad that there's been this turmoil. We also feel that most of it is unnecessary because the blessing of same-sex unions has not been required or mandated upon anybody who in conscience feels that they can't do it.
Now, I have to ask, I think today there are churches in Texas who joined together and announced that they were going to bring the Episcopal Church of the U.S. to its knees over the ordination of Gene Robinson and the progressive direction that it's moving in.
I think it's sad that people should expend so much energy in the direction of hatred. A God who wants to include, a God who sent Jesus to touch lepers, to minister to prisoners, Jesus who included women and did not discriminate against anyone, to have a kind of exclusivist campaign to kick people out in the name of a God who wants to invite people in is such a fundamental contradiction in terms that I don't think in the long run the church will be able to take that kind of message seriously. I know a great many Anglicans in quite conservative cultures who would not be comfortable with gay and lesbian inclusion, who are just horrified at the tactics of battle that are going on by the religious right. Anglicanism has faced this before, of course, over the ordination of women and remarriage of divorced people. And I think, you know, if you go back far enough, you could trace it through the whole issue around slavery in the 19th century and the divine right of kings and monarchs in the 16th century. We faced these battles before. I'm sure we will come through this again, but it's just a great diverting of energy into negative directions that we see being launched in Texas.
Bishop Michael Ingham of Vancouver's Anglican Diocese of New Westminster talks with Heather Kitching about the ordination of Jean Robinson and the support for same-gender unions within the church next time on This Way Out.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis, and you're listening to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine.
A solid gold mix of soul and more, a curt pop sound with a folky label, and a duo's double album that gets a little bluesy are the hot queer CDs we'll discover as we open up this month's audiophile.
Kendra, what about that guy over there?
He's been checking me all night long.
Checking you out? He's checking me out.
Oh, you think everybody plays on your team?
Listen, I know you're doing these days. Marina's going up in Spain.
You're out of your mind. He's not giving you the time.
I know from this scene.
What you mean, what you mean?
He's on my team. Hey,
Ari Gold is back this year with his second CD called Space Under Sun. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm J.D. Doyle, and you're listening to Audiophile. And the CD is a delightful mix of styles, from the sassy duet you just heard, featuring Kendra Ross, to tender ballads and infectious dance tracks.
I'm describing my new CD as an intergalactic hybrid of 80s and contemporary R&B, bassy pop, and like futuristic jazzy soul. Well, it's smooth, it's sultry, it's soulful. You have to kind of hear it.
You've been there right by my side, oh, like an angel sent down from the sky. You're my guru, it's you doing a voodoo. Yes, I learned from you the power of goodbye. You know how to inspire. You're someone I can admire.
Take me for a ride.
You're the only one that knows how to guide.
I'm sold to you. What can I do? I can only describe you as fantastic. Your energy, give it to me. You gotta be so fantastic.
Find out more about Ari Gold and Space Under Sun at www.arigold.com. That's www.arigold.com.
Katie Curtis went back into the studio with just her guitar for her latest album called Acoustic Valentine.
And it is, in a way, an intimate gift to her fans of some of her most loved songs performed acoustically.
I love this town. You can see the stars at night, even from downtown, 'cause there are no city lights. This town was my biggest fan till I was who I am. What's the matter? What's the matter?
I describe it as acoustic pop. I am happy, though, to embrace the folk singer label. I listened to more pop growing up than folk, and I think that even though I play the acoustic guitar and sing, and the lyrics are sometimes commentary on social issues, there's also an element of pop sound in it, too.
But I'm not being radical when I kiss you, and I don't love you to make a point. It's the hollow of my heart that cries when I miss you, and it keeps me alive when we're apart.
You can learn more about the album Acoustic Valentine by Katie Curtis at www.katiecurtis.com.
You've been around me long enough to know, and now it's up to me, so I suppose I figure now what's wrong with you is wrong with me. The pieces of the puzzle scattered out, it doesn't do much to remove the doubt.
Stephanie Callahan and Deb Hunsiter make up the Florida duo Halcyon.
And their fifth and latest CD is a double album called Plugged, Stripped Down, and Live.
I would say that it's kind of got an acoustic rock, pop rock sound. A lot of times when you have the single person with guitar, girl with guitar, guy with guitar, you get put in that folk vein. And we're certainly not folky. It's got definitely more of an acoustic pop rock sound to it. Stephanie plays harp, so sometimes it's got a little bluesy twinge in there, that type of thing.
That's my trip, set me free.
Find out more about Halcyon and Plugged, Stripped Down, and Live at www.halcyonmusic.com. That's www.halcyonmusic.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas 77006. Or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiofile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Rick Watts, Graham Underhill, Fensberry, Rex Walkner, Heather Kitching, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. You heard music performed by the Christ Church Cathedral Choir, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you. You can help this program stay on the air and get our exclusive Movies, Music, and News 2003 Year in Review programs on CD, not available in stores. Please log on to thiswayout.org to get all the details. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WSMU North Dartmouth, Massachusetts, KOPN Columbia, Missouri, Plains FM Christchurch, New Zealand, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.